Well, for anybody who is listening to this or seeing it on Facebook, welcome. This is the Eucharist that I will be presiding this morning in St. Mary and St. Ainsworth Church in Folkestone. It's not a public service because we're not allowed to do that, although there are one or two people here just sitting quietly in the pews, well away from each other. So that's fine. First of all, we're going to listen to a Lent prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy." The sacrifice of God is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart God will not despise. Let us come to the Lord who is full of compassion and acknowledge our transgressions in penitence. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life. To the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Collect for Mothering Sunday. God of love, passionate and strong, tender and careful, watch over us and hold us all the days of our life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look in me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you. Samuel did what the Lord commanded, and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling, and said, do you come peaceably? He said, peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. He sent and brought David in. Now, he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, rise and anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. This is the word of the Lord. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Second reading is a reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Once you were in darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is still day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbours and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? And some were saying, it is he. Others were saying, no, but it is someone like him. He kept saying, I am the man. But they kept asking him, then how were your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. Well, then I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, well, where is he? He said, I don't know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. And it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put mud on my eyes, and then I watched, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened. He said, he is a prophet. The Jewish leaders did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, we know this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. For the Jewish leaders had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So, for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered, I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, well, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him, saying, you are a disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. And the man answered, well, here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opens my eyes. And we know that God does not listen to sinners. But he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, "You were born entirely in sin, and you are trying to teach us." And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is his son? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I've been in a lot of churches over a lot of years, and many churches who say that they are very, very friendly turn out to be not so friendly at all. Well, that's not quite true. They are friendly to one another. It's just if you're a stranger, they're not that friendly. So I remember actually presiding in the church one day, and some of my close friends from up north decided to come and visit me. So they came into church a bit later, and they weren't really welcomed very much at the beginning. And then at the end of the service, everybody was very, very friendly to each other, talking and chatting and catching up with the week. And my friends were left completely on their own. That kind of friendly unfriendliness is just something to do with the way that we see ourselves in relation to the church and what our role might be. It's something to do with contemporary culture, in the sense that contemporary culture has taught us that we gain our significance through purchasing, through being a consumer. If we consume something that's good, then we feel good. If we feel bad, it's good to consume something, and that will make us feel better. It's like Tesco ergo sum, I shop, therefore I am. But if you've been in church, if you make it through the door and you do stay, if you've been in church for 5 minutes, you realise that there's a group of people in any church. Actually, I think this is true of community groups, all kind of societies as well, who have found something else. They've found a truth which they tend, I'm afraid to say, to hide and keep themselves. It's the secret of the inner circle. Now, in the inner circle, you have people who do lots of things in the church and in various societies. And invariably, they moan about it. They say, "Oh, I'm so busy, and people don't help, and there's so much to do." But actually, if you try to take away the job that they do, they don't like that very much either. And the reason is this. What they've found, they may not be able to articulate it that way, but they sense it, they feel it, that it's not just about what you get. It's also about what you give that makes you feel significant. And many people have found this, that significance comes from serving. And the last thing they want is for that to be taken away, actually, because that's where a sense of significance and importance comes from. There's something to do with power. It's true. But really at the heart of it is that sense of actually meaning something to somebody. And it works best, of course, when people are grateful for what you do. That makes you feel really, really good. And that truth, that sense that it's about how we feel significant through serving and through giving, which is really at the heart of what church should be. And so those of us who are congregating and know one another and are talking to each other over coffee at the end and ignoring other people, we're still a bit stuck in that sense of, well, it's what I want to get out of the church that I'm here for. And that won't change, and that's not wrong. It's not that we will not be consumers, because of course we always will. We do like to consume things. It's rather adding in the sense that of awareness of other people, where they are, and asking ourselves, how can we serve them? How can we be producers as well as consumers? And so fulfill the law of Christ, which is love. And it's something that connects in the very, very centre of who we are. When we discover this, we flourish. We begin to flourish and grow as people. When we look at the door and say, oh, I don't know that person, I think I'll go and talk to that one because I don't know them, then something shifts inside you and you feel a sense of connection and significance within, which is rather different from just receiving what you want to receive. It really is actually all about seeing and being seen. And one of the problems when people try church is this. They'll walk in, and it takes some courage to do that, by the way. If they're not used to the place, they don't know the people, it takes courage, and they feel invisible. And one thing that we can do in order to be welcoming is not just give good coffee, cake, whatever it is, which we should be doing, but also making that a means to really see people, that they know that they're seen. In our gospel reading, the gift, the real gift of Jesus to the blind man might not be quite what you think it is. The scene opens up with people who aren't seeing very well at all, and they, of course, are the disciples. The disciples have got the idea correctly that their thinking is meant to be shaped by Jesus' teaching, and so they're trying to see the significance of things that are going on around them. And so they ask, well, why, what's the significance of a man that's born blind? Is it that somebody has sinned? Their focus is on the understanding of the concepts, the ideas, and the theology. I wonder if Jesus just smiled really and thought, yes, you're beginning to get it, but you haven't quite got there yet. Because what Jesus shows them is, it's not really about the theology at all. It's, what's really important here is not seeing what the truth is, but seeing the person. It's looking at the man and seeing him as a man, his experience. And seeing what this man really, really needs. Jesus reaches out to him, and he heals him. Because that's what the man needed. And so, Jesus gave him the gift of sight, but he also gave him the gift of being seen. And when you are seen, you know that you're loved, cared for, valued, important, have significance. God sees him. Jesus sees him, and other people now begin to see him. And they see him, and they realise that he is disruptive. His very existence disrupts them. The next group of people who are offended by him are, of course, the Pharisees. And they are so locked into their clever theological system that they can't see him as a loved child of Abraham, Moses, of God. But Jesus does. And this man remains seen, and he is so confident now, his inner soul has been built up, he is so confident, and knows his significance to the extent that he begins to fight back. These are scary and powerful people. And yet he says, no, I have been healed. This did happen. This man that did this must be from God. He knows it. And he witnesses, and he begins to give something back. He begins to witness his faith in Christ to others. When he's encountered by the Christ, he worships him. And this is before the death and resurrection of Christ. he worships him. Where do you get your significance from? What gives you your sense of importance, of significance? Here we're seeing that it's that Christ gazes into your soul, sees who you are, and knows how to meet your needs. And we as the Church of Christ in this place are called to learn from that and begin to see one another. Not just for what we get out of it. You know the way conversations go. You say something, somebody else says something back, and you're not really listening. You're thinking about the next thing you're going to say. No. We shift now. And we learn from Christ seeing us. And we begin to look at one another and see one another really, really well. And understand. And we ourselves, of course, will be seen, and that's what creates the sense of spirit and belonging and fellowship between us. We begin to serve and value other people's service, being grateful for that. And that's how it should be and would be if we were about to congregate and worship. So what about these days in our preparation for the return of that corporate worship and corporate family living together as we will return to. What do we do now? I will say this. The key is in that sense of we're called to see, to really look and see others. And I want to ask you, who is it at the moment feels they're not being seen? Who are the invisible people? Who are those who are self-isolating and cut off from others? Now, many of us are connecting through social media and through the internet and email even, and that's good. But some people don't have that, especially some of those perhaps who are our most vulnerable people. Who is it that you could reach out to today by picking up a telephone or sending a message in some way on social media in order to check that they're okay and in order to be able to have a conversation with them about what's really important to them? And if you can do it, do this. Ask them to do something for you. Ask them something, some advice, to write something, draw something, I don't know, ask them to give you some memories of how things used to be. Help them feel significant, not just by being done to, but by giving something back. If we can find ways to do that in these difficult times, we will still be the community of Christ. This place. Amen. The Lord's my shepherd. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. And on the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole earth, for the good estate of the holy churches of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Justin, our Archbishop, Rose, our Bishop, Darren, our Archdeacon, Jane, our Area Dean, and for all who minister in the Church of God, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Pope Francis, for the Patriarchs of the Orthodox Churches, for the leaders of the Reformed and Independent Churches, and for all our brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Jews, Muslims, and those of other faiths, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all engaged in the missionary work of God, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the persecuted and their persecutors, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the Church suffering under oppressive regimes, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all those seeking to respond to the challenges of the coronavirus, and the individuals and families affected by it, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Elizabeth, our Queen, and all the royal family, for our government and opposition, and for the leaders of the nations of the world, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Anne, the Chair of Folkestone Hythe District Council, for Jackie, the Town Mayor of Folkestone, for the head teachers, staff, governors and pupils of schools within or linked to this parish, and for all agencies, charities and businesses that have contributed to the life and well-being of the people of Folkestone, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who seek God but cannot yet name him, for the indifferent, and for those who reject him, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick, the suffering, and the dying, for those who care for them and work for their healing, for those working to produce a vaccine for the coronavirus, for those in special need, and for the salvation of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the departed, for parents and children, for the shared life and fruitfulness of the faith community here at St. Mary and St. Edswith, for our families and friends, and for anyone for whom we are concerned at this time, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That with a whole heart we might commend to Christ our God this day, ourselves, one another, and our whole life, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Almighty Almighty God, you have given us grace with one accord to make our common supplications to you, and have promised that when two or three are gathered together in your name, you will grant their requests. Fulfill now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of your servants, as may be most expedient for them, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the world to come life everlasting. For you are precious, O God, love above all, and we give glory to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us access to his grace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is indeed right and good to give you thanks and praise, Almighty God and everlasting Father, through Jesus Christ your Son. For in these 40 days you lead us into the desert of repentance, that through a pilgrimage of prayer and discipline we may grow in grace, and learn to be your people once again. Through fasting, prayer, and acts of service, you bring us back to your generous heart. Through study of your holy word, you open our eyes to your presence in the world, and free our hands to welcome others into the radiant splendor of your love. As we prepare to celebrate the Easter feast with joyful hearts and minds, we bless you for your mercy, and join with saints and angels forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And so, Father, call to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice, made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share, all who would share, all who share by faith in this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Edith and all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom, with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. Lord God, whose blessed Son, our Saviour, gave his back to the smiters and did not hide his face from shame, give us grace to endure the sufferings of this present time, with sure confidence in the glory that shall be revealed, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. It is a painful thing not to be able to take the sacrament. I find it actually quite painful taking it when you can't. But I pray that we will be strengthened in our inner hearts by the sense that God is present to us through his body and his blood in every moment of every day. And I pray that you will sense God's presence with you in these difficult days as you make space for him in your life and in your prayer. And so, Christ, give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. We go in peace to love and serve.